Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. A commission appointed 2 years ago to advise Governor Scott Walker and the Wisconsin legislature on how to fund the next 10 years of transportation finished its work recently. The group suggests raising the gas tax by a nickel from 32 to 37 cents and raising a variety of fees on drivers. It's predicted to raise about $5 billion over the next decade. That would fund just the status quo for road maintenance, construction, and public transit. The governor and some lawmakers are opposed to raising the gas tax and favor funding some future transportation costs out of the state's general budget. La Crosse County has 285 miles of county roads. It maintains another 162 miles of state and federal roadways. La Crosse County Highway Commissioner Ron Chamberlain says the county's roads are in reasonable shape now, but they are deteriorating. That's due to a lack of increased funding over the last 20 years and the fact that money for road improvements doesn't go as far as it used to. UW Extension Family Living Professor Mary Meehan Strube talked with Chamberlain and 94th District State Representative and Assembly Transportation Committee member Steve Doyle about the future of transportation funding. She asked Chamberlain what choices La Crosse County has to make with roads, given the current funding situation.
We have to make choices on whether we're going to improve roads or whether we do the best we can and hold them together. We don't have the funds available to perform all the necessary work. We look at work that would impact economics, work that would impact safety as our main focuses. And then general system repairs over and above that.
So are you doing less, more with less?
We're doing less overall mileage due to those increasing costs. For example, 20 years ago, $200,000, $250,000 would have bought us 40-plus miles of seal coating. Today, we're lucky if we can squeeze 18, 19, 20 out of that.
And so when we look at your overall transportation budget, highway department budget for road repairs and maintenance, what are we looking at dollar-wise in a year's time?
Total expense budget is about in the ballpark of $10 million for the state, the county, any work that we do for other governmental entities, all of those things together.
Steve, money's always an issue. People are, there's never enough of it, it seems like. We hear competing ideas for how to fund transportation, for building roads and dealing with public transportation issues. And a commission that's been studying this suggests a nickel gas tax increase or fee increases to raise about $5 billion in the next decade. And, of course, many Republicans, including the governor, are opposed to that and seem to favor using the state budget to pay for transportation. What's your preference and why?
Well, I think that we need to thoroughly research that, and I appreciate the fact that the committee did such a thorough job. This really came out of a decision made a number of years ago to end gas tax indexing, which had kept us, a pace with inflation. It's dead on arrival right now. I mean, the governor has said, we're not going to do this. Legislative leadership has said, we're not going to do this. So we're not going to do this. Mm-hmm. So what's plan B? And plan B seems to be that the governor is saying, well, as part of my budget proposal, which is coming out February 20th, I will be putting aside money, some additional money for numerous things, including infrastructure, roads, bridges, and so forth. We don't know yet what that amount is going to be, but he says that we're going to be addressing those concerns. I guess I'm not sure if we're going to be addressing them sufficiently. I kind of have a foot in each place right now. I'm still on the county board, and I'm in the state legislature. On the county board, I'm on the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee. In the state legislature, I'm on the Assembly Transportation Committee. So, this is an issue that I see as very significant at both levels for all sorts of reasons. In addition to wanting to go to grandma's house to visit her, it also is economic development. I mean, we have to get goods from field to market and from business to business, and people have to get to jobs and so forth. So it's not something that we can just say is a secondary priority. It needs to be a top priority. And so everybody's eagerly awaiting, You know, the governor says we're not going to do the raising of the gas tax, we're not going to do toll roads and so forth. Okay, I'm okay with that, but what are we going to do? And how are we going to maintain that? Ron and I have talked, and at the county level, we've talked on a number of occasions that La Crosse County alone has $37 million of unmet road needs. The county did a study a couple years or so ago to look at what do we need to get into usable shape. I mean, and not Cadillac, but, you know, decent quality roads in La Crosse County, and $37 million right here and now is what we need to do that, and we don't have it. And the state doesn't give us any indication that we're going to get it. You know, so while we've always had, you know, good roads in Wisconsin, and especially in La Crosse County, as Ron just said, we're in danger of that not being the case anymore.
Well, and the $10 million annual budget that he has to work with doesn't get you anywhere near the $37 million that's basically going to be unmet needs that are out there.
The $10 million that we're talking about is not all for county roads either. That's our total expense budget. So that's the county roads, which is a smaller portion of that, plus the state roads, plus any work that we're doing for other entities.
I want to go back, though, to the nickel gas increase or fee increases in that. As a legislator, do you see any pros or cons on either of those choices?
Oh, sure. You know, one of the things that I've had a discussion with, actually with one of our local car dealers, he noted that with modern cars, we're also not collecting the kind of revenue that we used to. An electric car doesn't pay gas tax, and a very fuel-efficient car pays little gas tax. And so, you know, looking at the system of, you know, how it used to be that you have the gas guzzlers and the money comes in and that takes care of everything, we're not in that era anymore. So I'm not sure that, strictly speaking, raising the gas tax is going to solve the problem. It may be a component of it. This car dealer, in fact, was suggesting a charge just for, you know, owning a vehicle and the number of miles you put on that vehicle. I guess I would need to see how you would administer that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's when you're renewing your license or something that you report the mileage or you know, something along those lines. But that would be a more true user fee. There's always the general fund in terms of that gets used to pay almost everything. You know, mm-hmm. And so can it be, you know, used also for transportation needs? Sure, it can. You know, that's mainly funded by income tax, both in individual and to some extent corporate. You know, so those are things that I think we need to look at. Typically what experts say whenever you're funding a program, and this would be a perfect example of that, is that you shouldn't just look at one source. If it was only, you know, gas tax, for example, you're going to miss some people. If it's only income tax, you're going to miss some people. So if you spread it around a little bit, that's probably the best way to accomplish it.
So in general then, what's the condition of transportation in the state overall?
I think that we're at a critical point in terms of making some significant decisions on where we're going forward. You know, the governor has said that he wants to put more money into infrastructure. In the recent budget, transit, for example, mass transit got about a 10% cut. You know, so we're not putting the amount of money in there that I think we need to, because I mean, in the long run, that makes sense to evolve in that direction. I think that we also need to make decisions that, I guess, for lack of a better description, are more fair statewide. We've had oodles and oodles of money go into Milwaukee for the interchange there and so forth that could have been, you know, also in this part of the state. So, I mean, we've done great things, the zoo interchange, and Milwaukee is fine for now. I think it's time to look at some of the needs that we have in other parts of the state. You know, I don't want to be parochial in that regard, but we are at a critical point where one of the attractants to a community is just how it looks, you know, and if the roads all have potholes, it's not an attractive community to move into, just like if they don't have good schools or, you know, the parks are all dingy and, you know, that kind of thing. And so we need to sell ourselves as a state by having quality infrastructure. Also, the repair costs these days of things like bridges and other infrastructure like water and sewer and so forth is just astronomical, and you can only put Band-Aids on it for so long. You know, as Ron will tell you, you know, we're getting to that critical point where some of the seal coating and things like that is no longer sufficient for some of the roads. We need to be replacing some of them. We get a subdivision that goes in out in the country. We now have to run a road to mm-hmm. it. That all costs money. And, you know, in these austere times where we're saying we have less money to spend, we're still going to have to recognize that those needs aren't going to go away.
What are your biggest concerns in terms of county roads? And could having money actually to fix them make the difference there?
Money is the single biggest concern. Okay. And yes, having the funds available to properly repair, reconstruct, recondition, and maintain those county roads is crucial and critical. One of the big economic drivers currently that we saw in last legislative session and in the upcoming legislative session is freight. And anything that can move freight with as little hindrance as possible is a focus in Madison right now. You know, that translates into trucks, and trucks translate into damage. One legally loaded quad-axle dump truck is about 9,600 cars a day equivalent when you're talking about damage. So as we increase those weight limits, we have to look at what that does to the road. That goes up exponentially as you hit the overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are the type of things. And what we're looking at is we're seeing a lot of pressure. We're seeing in this area of the state, we're seeing the frac sand and the sand haulers. Northern part of the state and somewhat in this part of the state, we've got the logging industry. Within the past few years, they've went from an 80,000-pound legal load to a 98,000-pound legal load. We've got a real push coming in from the agriculture sector with regards to produce getting to from the farm to market with regards to disposal of manure and hauling that, not necessarily behind trucks, but tractors and trailers. And the road doesn't recognize whether it's a truck with a trailer or whether it's a tractor with a farm implement. It just sees the damage and the weight.
The issues that Ron is just talking about now, from my perspective, is a perfect example of how the system should work. Whenever those bills come up in my transportation committee or they come up for a vote on the floor or bills come up to be co-sponsored, my office calls Ron because I want to know how is that going to affect the county, because that's the buck stops here. I mean, we're the ones, if we add weight to the vehicles that are going on the road, it's our tax dollars here in La Crosse that are going to pay for those roads. And we need to know how that's going to work. And he's been very helpful in terms of suggesting tweaks to things and, oh, this is a good bill or this is a bad bill. And we really need that because it should be a partnership between the state and the county.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Mary Mian Strub, and my guests today include 94th District State Assembly Representative and County Board Supervisor Steve Doyle and Ron Chamberlain, La Crosse County Highway Commissioner. And we're talking about roads, transportation, and funding. In the last state budget, counties were restricted from sharing road equipment. How has that impacted your operation here at the La Crosse County Highway Department? And can you give some examples of where sharing occurred and possibly money was saved?
For La Crosse County, the biggest single impact in that is not being able to access equipment with trained personnel from a different entity. So while we did not have a large impact from a revenue stream or an expense stream project related, we had a significant impact for equipment that we were then having to purchase because we could not get somebody else's unless a trained operator, for liability reasons, accompanied that piece of equipment, and not being able to use those operators impacted that. So we've seen some large purchases. Mulching comes to mind when we're doing some dirt work. Good erosion control is a necessity. And as a result, we've had to purchase our own mulcher, which is, excess of $100,000 for a commercial mulcher to do erosion control measures in dirt projects where we in the past were able to share with surrounding counties that had that type of equipment. So that was where our biggest impact was. There were many counties in the state that were affected adversely that were set up as cooperative entities with two and three counties involved. that took huge revenue hits on a given year. But for lacrosse, it amounts to us having to invest more in equipment that we were able to get before with a trained operator.
Steve, earlier you talked about transportation really is a part of economic development and is a factor that impacts whether people want to come here, live here, whether businesses want to come here and establish their business entity here. And as you look at transportation funds for the state, a lot of the funds or a greater percentage of them get allocated out to the eastern part of the state more so than over here in the western part. And that there could be some disparity in how those funds are distributed, and possibly even that Milwaukee gets more than, say, La Crosse County or the western part of the state. How do you see the allocation of those transportation funds?
Well, unfortunately, I think that that has been the case, especially recently with the, obviously the most glaring example of that being the zoo interchange in Milwaukee. I mean, that was a huge, huge project. You know, we have to recognize, of course, that that's an urbanized area. I mean, they have a greater need for, you know, those kinds of expenditures because of the number of people that live there. And you know, in western Wisconsin, we don't have quite the need, but I think we still do have significant projects that need to be looked at. You know, one of them that was a concern that a constituent of mine recently contacted me about and I talked to Ron about is the Highway 33 project. Going up the bluff, which is a safety issue, where a person was killed who was biking, I think it was, and was hit by a car not too long ago. Just because we don't have a million cars a year going through doesn't mean that we don't have the need also. And so my hope is that going forward, recognizing that we don't have enough money to do everything we want, we at least recognize that everybody should have access to what resources are available. Political influence probably has something to do with it. Practicalities perhaps have something to do with it. I just think that it is important, and having, you know, Jennifer Schilling on the Joint Finance Committee is a good thing for Western Wisconsin to have our voice mm-hmm. be heard. I think that is important, that our voice be heard going forward.
Do you think that there's likely to be compromise on transportation issues and funding issues, or do you expect that parties that are in control will do what they want to do?
Well, you know, that's a good question, but realistically speaking, nobody's going to get everything that they want. So there is going to have to be compromise. And, you know, I'm not sure that I would say that transportation funding is a Republican issue or a Democratic mm-hmm. issue. It's probably more of a regional issue. You know, if I'm from western Wisconsin, I want projects in western Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. If I'm from Milwaukee, I want Milwaukee and so forth. And so in that regard, we've got, you know, a little bit of a surplus, and, you know, we've got to save some for rainy day. But, you know, the governor is talking about using that for, you know, various things, including infrastructure. And, you know, we may see a little uptick in terms of some of the projects that my hope would be are spread around the state rather than just in selected areas. And I would think that we've gotten to that point in the condition of our highways and other roads statewide that, you know, the need is significant all over. You know, it's not like just Milwaukee can say, we're in really bad shape, we need all the money. I think you're seeing everybody right now can demonstrate significant need. And so I hope that, you know, in the plans that go forward, starting with the governor's budget and joint finance looking at it, that there is a balance statewide.
What road projects are included in the 2013 La Crosse County Highway Department budget?
2013 La Crosse County Highway Department is primarily focused on County Trunk Highway OA, from County Trunk O to County Trunk FO.
And where are these located at?
This is in the Berry Mills area.
Okay.
This is a $5.2 million project. From a financial standpoint, it's the largest project that La Crosse County has entered into in a very long time. This is tied in with a federal grant, a federal safety grant, due to fatalities from crashes in that area. So this is a project that has been fully designed, has been run through the DOT process. It's divided into three segments, two of which will be let by the county. One is let by the DOT. All of those lettings will be done in the month of March into the first part of April. And at that point, we'll see where we start for construction on that. Over and above that, we've got a small structure project on County Trunk D, just out of Holman, about 3 miles. And we've got another small structure project on County Trunk DE, just north of 16, I want to say about 2.5 miles. Over and above those projects, we'll be doing a whole bunch of maintenance, trying to keep our system in one piece.
In the next 2 to 5 years, what areas will you do you foresee moving into?
We've done a lot of work historically in the urban areas on the county roads. So our focus right now, with that those areas being in pretty good shape, is really into the rural areas. In 2014, we'll be primarily up in the north eastern part of the county, and then we move around a little bit each year based on funding availability and the mileage we can get done with that and the type of projects that we're looking at. Currently, we're looking at about a $2.5 to $3 million construction program, which, keep in mind, with the inflationary increases, won't gain us any ground. But it's what we can afford to do at this point in time. So that's where we're headed. The big news on a construction fund isn't the county. The big news is the state. We've got the Dreschbach Bridge over the next 3 to 5 years. We've got the interstate coming through from the Dreschbach all the way to about Theater Road over the next several years, including interchange work on Exit 3, on French Island exit, and a little bit of work on the exit for 157 as well. We've got work on 35, starting where the 35 project in 2012 left off going north, and we've got work up on Highway 33. We've got a lot of construction work on the state system in La Crosse County in the next 3 to 5 years.
You initially talked about state trunk highway maintenance. That's separate from somewhat new construction as such, but how does the funding for that funnel through to La Crosse County?
Okay. That's funded out of the transportation fund, the state highway transportation fund, which is where gas tax goes. That's put forth in a conduit called a routine maintenance agreement to each individual county. The dollar figure in that routine maintenance agreement is determined by a level of service model that the state has. And because the state is not able to adequately fund that level of service model, it is proportionally reduced for each county. Interestingly enough, in the Secretary of Transportation's budget submittal to the Department of Administration, they brought in a zero increase for the DOT's budget, but they did increase state trunk highway maintenance $55 million over the course of 2 years. That came at the sacrifice or slowing down of some projects around the state, the Zoo Interchange, the interstate between Madison and Beloit, the north-south corridor over from Milwaukee down to the state line, the 10-441 bypass around the Appleton area and others. So the state has recognized, the DOT has recognized under the current administration that this maintenance is an issue. Maintenance of system is first and foremost, and we wait patiently to see what the governor's budget looks like and ultimately what the legislature decides to do.
Steve, you're supporting a constitutional amendment that would ensure gas taxes and other transportation fees would fund the future state transportation funding commitments. It's needed because of raids of the transportation funds that were made by a former governor to pay for other things, including the K-12 education that's been in the state budget. If it's approved, what's the potential impact of this amendment?
Well, that amendment is Assembly Joint Resolution 2, which passed last session. And it's coming up again probably even within the next few days for a vote at the full assembly. It will go on the ballot probably a year from this April, because we don't have any elections coming up after this coming April. But what that will do is to say that money that goes into the transportation fund stays in the transportation fund to be used only for transportation projects. I support that because it is honest, transparent budgeting. If we're going to want money for Project X, then let's say it. But don't say we're going to, you know, we're going to increase your gas tax or we're going to increase your license fees, and then, you know, shuffle it over to some other project. I mean, not that those other projects aren't worthwhile. Education, for example, you know, being what was used before. To be honest, we need to say we're going to raise taxes or we're going to use our general fund revenue for education or for human services or whatever it may be, rather than the shell game. And that's really what why I support the Assembly Joint Resolution. Is it going to increase the amount of money we spend or decrease? I don't know that it's going to have any impact either direction. What it's going to do, though, is to make it more transparent so that we're telling people what their taxes are going for. And I think they appreciate that. It passed the both houses of the legislature on an overwhelming vote last session, and we expect that it'll pass again pretty overwhelming in this session. I've not talked to very many members of the public who are opposed to it. So I think that it will be a part of our Constitution, not for this current budget that we're getting in the next few days, but for the next budget.
Does this amendment have any relationship to the suggestions that are being made by this Transportation Committee or what the legislator does with the committee's suggestions or transportation in the state budget?
I know that the study committee was aware that first consideration had already passed when they made their recommendations, and I know that they support this constitutional amendment. In terms of how it dovetails with that, I'm not sure if it necessarily does. It's more about the accountability, not necessarily on the amount. I mean, we can pass this amendment and all be, you know, real happy and pat ourselves on the back, but it doesn't put another nickel in terms of road maintenance or road construction. You know, so we still have to face that fact, is there's not enough money right now in the system to pay for all of the highway and road needs that we have today. And we're going to have to face the facts and bite the bullet and, you know, either accept that we're going to have a lower quality of road, which is the decision people can make, or we're going to have to fund them. But people have to have that discussion, and people in elective office have to have that discussion in an honest sense and make a decision and then live with it.
So are we headed to gravel roads?
Not anywhere by any stretch of the means at this point yet. Is it out of the realm of possibility? No, I'd say it's within the realm of possibility, depending on what is done, depending on what the legislators decide. Do I think that that there's an issue? Without a doubt. Do I think that it's something that we can't overcome? No, I think it's overcomable, but I think it's a partnership between the state, the counties, and the other local entities. You know, we talk about the weight limits and we talk about the freight initiatives. The legislature has directed the Wisconsin Department of Transportation through the budget process to establish a priority routes system. Where are our main routes in each area for getting freight in and out? Why are they state, county, whoever's they are? Let's identify them. And then when we look at improvements or laws or weight limit things going into place, then we need to look at that last mile, because the last mile is very seldom on a state trunk highway.
Ron Chamberlain is La Crosse County's Highway Commissioner. Steve Doyle of Onalaska is the 94th District State Representative and a member of the Assembly Transportation Committee. They talked with UW Extension Family Living Professor Mary Meehan Strube about the challenges funding state and local transportation. Coming up next, some say natural gas is the future for powering cars and trucks. We'll talk about Quick Trip's expansion into compressed natural gas. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.